Take your Bibles, please, and go into the book of Psalms, chapter 83. I got a loose leaf Bible. It's kind of easy to move the pages around. Sometimes I'm reading along and wonder where a page went. I remember I preached at Faith Center. But it makes it easy for me to take Psalm 83 and lift it out and put it over in 2 Chronicles 20 where it belongs. Don't tear the pages out, but put a marker in. As the two go together, as God moves on the congregation in the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, begins to prophesy as the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the people. Scholars pretty much agree that before he began to prophesy, he must have prayed the prayer of Psalm 83, and if he didn't, the people did. Now, I've preached on 2 Chronicles 20 many times. I read it rather regularly, because it is one of the greatest victories for God's people. And the beauty of the chapter is that it is such a great victory for people that are in such terrible trouble. And their trouble came upon them like a bolt out of the blue. No preparation for it, no expectancy, no earthly reason for it. Suddenly, they're overwhelmed. I do not want to preach primarily on 2 Chronicles 20. I want to look at 2 Chronicles 20 as the backdrop to Psalm 83. And I'm not as concerned today, though it certainly is a message for this church. And I've many times gone to this psalm to give me hope for this church and the struggles that we have been in to restore this network to strength. But I really want to preach to individuals today, because God placed this psalm into his record against the backdrop of 2 Chronicles 20. To minister strength and direction and encouragement to every child of God everywhere in every age. If there's any psalm that we can reach into God's book and grab hold of and claim the promise of 2 Chronicles 1:20, that all the promises of God in him are yea and amen, this is it. Psalm says, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God." In other words, get upset, God. Get a little bit upset about me. Now, I don't know where you are today on television or radio. I don't know where you are in your mind today, though you may sit here in bodily presence. But God has a word for you from his word. If you'll just ask him to quicken your heart and mind, and if you'll do what you can do, shove everything that's preying upon your mind right now aside, and believe that God can speak to you, because I'm convinced God wants to speak to individuals today. Now, let me give the backdrop. And as I've said, there are times I'll preach on 2 Chronicles 20 and refer to the psalm, but I want to reverse it today. Here's the condition. It came to pass after this also. It's a bolt out of the blue that hits them, because if you read the closing of the 19th chapter, there's very positive, encouraging words. Deal courageously, God's word is saying to God's people. Deal courageously and the Lord shall be with the good. To end on a good news note, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Give me just a hair more mic up there, Mike. Not much, but a little. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Jedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, and here's his prayer, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God?" Seventh verse, "Art not thou our God?" He recounts the activities of God and the history of God dealing with men. You say, "Well, now, can I do that today?" You sure can. Here's the whole record. All he did was recount the record up to that point, highlights of it. And Peter has said this whole book is written that we might learn God's ways. He doesn't use those words, but it's all for example and instruction. We are to learn from this book the way God deals with his people and the way God wants his people to deal with him. Jehoshaphat was afraid. Apparently that didn't preclude him making contact with God. "Art not thou God?" We can say that. "Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever?" He's quoting scripture, really. All that comes out of scriptural record. He then reminds himself and God of his remembrance that God had said, "When evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, if we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house." Some people wonder why we make a big to-do out of calling this place the King's House. That's the name we're looking for as a church, when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why we ask the many out there to set their house aside and declare it at least once a week. My house is the King's house. He reminds himself in God's presence, "If we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house." I'm going to pause at that point and say, do we have a promise like that? If any two of you, wherever they shall meet, in his name, he's promised to be there in the midst. If we stand before this house, you gave me too much, Mike, just a hair down. If we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Do we have that promise? If any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I like biblical prayers. You notice how he gets right down to the nitty-gritty? "Now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. He's recounting the history that's in God's book. These are people that God spared as they came into the promised land. The people of God were denied the order. They were to exterminate great portions of that land that had been promised them, the people who were in it. But these people were spared. Now God's goodness is going to be rewarded by these people coming as we've seen upon God's people. So Jehoshaphat says it, "Now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit." Now I said I could preach this message to the church, but I wanted to go to individuals today. So let me apply this verse. One word describes what he's telling God. Injustice. Or another one, unfairness. There is no reason for this attack. There is no rationale for it. There's no basis in the human scene. Now for the target of God's Word today to be individual, God's Word's got to find some people sitting around here today listening or out there that are under pressure. And when you analyze it, you really can't find adequate reason for the pressure. The condition is that of innocent victims getting it in the neck who don't deserve it. So if you qualify, listen close. "Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession." Now, I don't know what pressure you might be under, but I know that every child of God is the Lord's. I know that the church is a people who belong to the Lord. I know that if you have made the commitment that Christianity calls for, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Everything that you have in gift and possession is His, and you're but a steward. Your body is a stewardship. Your possessions are a stewardship. Your gifts are a stewardship. Your career is a stewardship. Your everything is a stewardship. So the attack that is hitting you, you can pray this same prayer if you've made the genuine commitment to God that I've just described, and it's the only commitment that's adequate for Christianity. Sometimes I'm told I preach a hard gospel. It was the same one Jesus preached. But I do preach, "He that forsaketh not all that he hath," Jesus speaking, "cannot be my disciple." The hard side of that is you got to deny yourself and come after Him. The good side is you turn you and yours over to Him. So when the getting it in the neck condition comes, it's His possessions that are under threat if you've made the commitment. Let that settle in. But I guess a lot of people carried threats and fears and problems with themselves into this listening situation today. And you never really stopped to realize, if you are the Lord's, the attack or pressure on you is against the Lord. If not the Lord Himself, the Lord's, it's against His possession. "Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession." What if everybody that's suing me realized they're trying to take over God's stuff? Huh? I'm just the steward, the trustee. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Yeah, I do preach a hard gospel. When I take up offerings, I say, when are we going to understand that we are but managing what God gave us, and he told us what to do with the tenth of it, and the rest of it is stewardship? And that's bad news when I'm sitting pretty and it's raining in gold, but I'd like to keep it. But it's mighty good news to know it's his when the rains come. Well, those are the people, the ones under fire I'm talking to. So the other side of that coin that is the hard gospel is the good news. Thou hast given it to us. It's to inherit. It's thy possession. And these rascals are threatening it. Oh God, oh our God, wilt thou not judge them? I'm starting to feel better already. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? And here is the definition of whether or not you're a recipient or the message. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, literally their little tripping ones, their wives and their children. Then, those words then and there always change things. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Medaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. They prayed before that. Psalm 83. As the congregation stood, they prayed. Nobody knows whether Jehaziel wrote it or whether the congregation read this psalm out of a record, but its application, I don't know any scholar that doesn't agree, really. There are some, I'm sure, but those that I read put this Psalm 83 embedded into this incident. And they pray this prayer. You just heard Jehoshaphat's prayer. Here's the other prayer. Pay attention, God, and get upset. Keep not thou silence. Hold not thy peace. Be not still. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee, I'm going to keep hammering this, I got sued three times this week, as I recall. You know, I've said ever since I've been at Faith Center, I've been accused of making Faith Center suffer, to serve the church and organizations that I headed up north before I came here. And many times I've looked in the camera very angry and said, if I'm going to be accused, at least get the record straight. It has not been the northern institutions benefiting from Faith Center. It's been the other way around. As I've had to neglect. You see, when I came to this church, I expected never to be on television, except maybe to preach on Sunday. I expected to bring an associate who would preach a couple of Sundays a month. I would preach only maybe twice a month and do the business job. And I was going to live in San Francisco and be down here occasionally. How many remember that? Oh, I'd do my work. I've proven that. My dad was doing fine up north. I've been sucked in and had to do everything up north in a holding pattern and under my arm. My dad's been sucked in. And many times I've said, how stupid, as I have been accused of owning non-profit corporations, that it's impossible to own as a matter of law. And I've looked in the camera mad and said, if I'm going to get it, let me get it for neglecting and depriving the northern institutions to resurrect this work, not the other way around. Well, some people took me at my word. I don't know whether the news of 15 million coming on the scene down here or what, but creditors of the northern institution have sued me right and left. Every day it's just boom, 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 as though they all got together this last week. They don't think apparently I'm doing enough good job. They got fat off me and my work for years. And apparently they're a little bit hurt for fear that my neglect will not look out for them. Like a bolt out of the blue. Old dead horses resurrected. And I can tell you, I'll beat the way out of them. But just when I was breathing a sigh of relief because I was getting things under control down here, bam! Here comes an invasion from the north. What are you going to do about it? Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They've lifted up thy head. Lifted up the head, their head. They've taken crafty counsel against thy people. I got a call from a newspaper, our attorneys did. Said, this suit has been filed. Now you're accused of awful things. Of defrauding people by neglect. You know, every attorney in the world wants to sue me for fraud because that's supposed to scare a preacher to death. Man, I've been accused so often of that, it's now become laughable. They take crafty counsel. I only wove that little parenthesis in to let you know that I have to apply this message today. There are lots of people listening to me that are in a circumstance, particularly with the economic condition of this crazy world today. You don't know where to turn. I think of the way some of our king's houses give, and what I know must be their income, and then reading the newspaper that the average family needs $20,000 a year, I thought, no wonder we're having a hard time with the budget. As God's people still pour out. And there must be lots of you listening today. Under threat, when you look at it, of annihilation of your spirit through fear, if not through fact. Remember, Jehoshaphat was scared. But every promise in God's book can be grabbed hold of and made yours if you want to make it yours. And if you strike the connection in the act of faith, and as I often say, leap into this book and say, God's Word has given me the key that opens the door, all the promises of God, not a one of them missing, in Him are yea and in Him amen. I'm going to take this one and make it mine. You can have it if you want it, but I'm sure making it mine today. And I recommend, if you're a recipient, if you can say we have no might against whatever's against you, neither know you what to do, but your eyes upon Him, then this is your word. The condition is one that you can't meet. That says it in a sentence. The condition is one that you can't meet. The concern, you don't know what to do. If you qualify, You're ready then for what, and I'm using an old Keswick system today of putting words that start with the same letter down to make you remember it, because I'm not interested in preaching a sermon that you can go away and maybe like or dislike. I want this promise to be yours. If your condition is one you don't know what to do with, I don't have to know what it is. But if it threatens you until you're afraid you're not going to make it, you qualify. If your concern is that there's no way to turn and you don't know what to do except look to the Lord, you qualify. What's the consolation? Read closely and start underlining. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace. Be not still. Get upset, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. I want you to underline those words, thy hidden ones. Once in a while, there leaps out of God's book a description of God's people that anybody can fit into. Now, if it were thy champions, or thy superachievers, or thy successful ones, it would eliminate most of the crowd. But thy hidden ones is the message I want you walking out of here with today. Because this is a message from God, speaking of God in the sense that He speaks of thy hidden ones. I want you to write in the margin three words. Now we're just going to camp on them. He, put it in capital letters because we're speaking of God. He does hide. And after you write it, I want to do something that you can do when you write by italicizing or underlining. It's hard to do when you speak except through volume. You can say those three words three different ways. He does hide. He does hide. He does hide. Let's start with the first one. He does hide. As a mother bird flying, he comes to protect. But I don't need to. This verse says it. Psalm 83. To those that are threatened, who are looking at the circumstance, instead of looking to God, you can look exposed. But to those who look to God through His Word, you are never outside His hiding care. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. This verse is saying to a people that are surrounded to the point of annihilation. They are. And I hate to shift the pronouns around because I want to stick to these three words, so I will, in a sense, violate the grammatical flow. But they are thy hidden ones. He does really hide us. I could go through passage after passage in God's book where people seem to be exposed, but always in time, God reveals He was there hiding and shielding and protecting. You remember the story of the Old Testament prophet threatened, the servant about to cave in with fear. The prophet finally says in desperation, "Will you open up his eyes, Lord?" Scripture has it, literally the scales fell from his eyes, and he saw the hosts of the Lord encamped round about. God's word gives us the hope. Faith claims it as the possession. One of the definitions of faith is it's the title deed to that which is claimed. God's word calls us, I'm going to change the pronoun to make it on, his hidden ones. They're all shooting at you and shooting at me all the time. God's word says, I've got the invisible shield of the Lord, and he's going to determine what gets through to me. And because he determines what gets through to me, nothing's going to get through to me that can destroy me. Period. Well, it looks to me like I'm going under. If you'll look to him instead of the waves, his hand will reach you before the water hits the nose level. Remember Peter sinking? Lord, save me. Eyes back on Jesus from the waves, and before he began to glug-glug, the hand was there. I never try to bring you new truths. Week after week, we try to take a fix on the old truths. That's what makes us different. Other people come under threat. Probably not as much, because the devil isn't fighting those in the prison camp. But no matter how threatening, I'm one of thy hidden ones. Who is this thy? Who does the hiding? The Lord of hosts. Quite adequate for your problem and mine today. He does hide. Yeah, he really does. It's not just some abstract promise. It is not a certainty that he will hide. It is a certainty he is hiding. Hiding us. While the threat's going on. Man, his phone's ringing. The creditor's at the door. The doctor's report just brought bad news. Where are you, God? Hiding me? Not tomorrow. Now. That's the element of faith. Well, remove the threat. Who needs to be hid then? I can take a phrase that Moffat translates and rework it, but the abstract thought is there. Jesus is talking to some Pharisees and he says, if you do good to those that do good to you, what's so special about that? Well, I'm going to say, if you believe that you are being hid when there are no threats, what's so special about that? But if you, as the threatenings come, and as the storm clouds gather, and as the rain comes down, if you can stare it in the face and say, God's word says, I am being hid. I'm not going to be hid. I'm being hid. You have grabbed hold of the essence of faith. Faith is not based on what is in sight. Faith pragmatizes or works out through your faith in action what is not seen. Not only does he hide us, and he's adequate, big enough to cover, he is hiding us. I'm saying the same thing, like facets of a diamond. I'm just coming at it from a different side. He does hide. That means no evil no evil is going to befall me. It is the essence of Romans 8, 28 and 29. Literally in the Greek, God enters into all things and worketh His good to them that are the called. I want you to know that you can claim the promise that God hides. He is hiding right now, and He hides. Yeah, you're covered. My boy, the arrow that threatens me is right there. Doesn't matter. He's here. And there shall no evil befall thee, except that, now there is none. No evil is going to befall you. He's between you and that. The consolation that I want everybody in that threatened condition to get today is He does hide. And we are, bad grammar, but I'm going to stick with it, thy hidden ones. What is really threatened? I already said it, but now let me clinch it. What is really threatened? I look over here and see a man whom I know is dedicated to this work, and he's threatened with health. And I look over here and see another one. Those I know about. Thousands I don't know about. But same answer. Our body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've given it over to His service. It's a threat against God's possession. And He's waiting for us to recognize it as Jehoshaphat did. You can sit there and bleed all day and moan and groan. Get up and put faith on it and say, hey God, it's your territory that's being invaded. Get upset. They're trampling on your possession. We're thy hidden ones. Come on, God. Yell like Scott does sometimes. Or however you want to express it, your possession's in danger. And God can say, no, it ain't. Just looks like it. Because it's mine. And I'm hiding it. Because we are thine, this is the consolation. Our enemies, my enemies, are His enemies. Man, did the odds change. Me against them suddenly became us against them. And they're outnumbered. You ever see real strategists in battle? Send a little decoy group out. Here comes the enemy charging. We're going to chew them up. And when they get sucked into the trap, here comes the army that's been hiding to smash them. It's the ones my enemies don't see that are going to get them. And I borrow from another preacher. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Them's the one that make the difference. Well, my enemies say, we have no quarrel with God. Tough luck, Buster. I'm His. I don't want to fight Him. Shouldn't have picked a fight with me. Because I'm His. Because we are thine, we're not only hidden in the shadow of His wings, our enemies are thy enemies. That's comforting. But I got a big battle. Because we're his, my battle is his battle. They have said, come and let us cut them off. Let's get old Scott and let's get old whomever you may be from being a nation. I mean, we got a throttle hold opportunity. Let's cut them off that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. They've consulted together with one consent. They're confederate against thee. You notice how this prayer goes? Listen to it. Get upset, God. Don't you be silent any longer, and don't you hold your peace, and be not still. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people. Look, if you're not in this category where you can claim this promise, get in. I've been preaching for 4.5 years a tough gospel. Now, I happen to believe in my own brand of eternal security. Everybody else can believe in their brand and be as wrong as they want to be. I'm eternally secure in Christ. Well, there's only one way I get in Christ. He that hateth not father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yea, and his own life also cannot be my disciple. How am I in Christ? Romans 8 says, I ask him to come into me, but I have to bring him in as Lord. And when he comes in as Lord, I'm now his. And that's tough. Because I got a lot of things with my life and a lot of things that I want to do with whatever gifts I've got. And there was a time when I had lots of plans for whatever money I could accumulate. In fact, my body naturally fits sand on a beach. And looking at it from that side, it's kind of hard to turn it over. When the sun's shining and the beach is calling and nobody's threatening, leave me alone, God. But I'm mighty glad I turned me over to him when the threatenings come. Because I'm his, and you're his, if you've given yourself to him. And you can pray this prayer then. They've taken crafty counsel against thy people. Look, God, they've taken crafty counsel against thy gene. I think I'm going to read it that way. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They've taken crafty counsel against thy gene, and consulted against him, one of thy hidden ones. And they've said, come, let us cut him off, or her off. They've consulted together with one consent, and they are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom, the Ishmaelites, the Moab, the Hagarenes. I could give you the history of these people and make you sick. There are people at one time or other that have benefited from God. Jebel and Ammon and Amalek. The Philistines were the inhabitants of Tyre. Some of those never benefited much, but the first bunch did. Now, they're all confederates together. Asher also has joined with them, and they've hoped the children of Lot. Selah, think of that. What a mob is gathered. Okay, God, do unto them as unto the Midianites. You know what happened to Midianites, don't you? 300 men scared the liver out of them in the middle of the night and they started killing each other. And when it got done, 180,000 of them were dead. Somebody said, glory. That's the best time I ever heard anybody say glory. Don't mind it when it's the right time. Can't stand preachers or anybody say it just to fill in. That's the right time to say glory. Won't you listen closely? I get accused sometimes of being kind of rough with my language. Listen to God. Do unto them as unto the Midianites and to Sisera. Sisera comes marching off the plain of Megiddo, down below Mount Tabor with scythe wheel chariots that have big saber swords around the wheels so they cut up everything, even comes close to them. Little old band in the middle of the night charges down off of Mount Tabor with Barak under Deborah's prophetic utterances, and God makes the stars fight in the heavens. Wipes them out. To Jabin at the brook Kishon, which perished at Endor. I don't have to tell you what happened to them. God does. They became as dung for the earth. In its day, that was as earthy as what I could say but won't. I'm even blushing at the thought. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb. Yes, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmona. Wish you had time for all this history. But they all end up spread out. Who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Who's the house of God today? Huh? Who is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Whom? You are. You that are in trouble, threatened with annihilation by people who say, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. One of the lawsuits that came against me once, they must think I'm worth an awful lot because they're sure going to get it out of me. I could tell them I ain't worth anything except to God. I mean, they try to tax my bank accounts, they're sure going to get rich quick. As rich as they're going to get from me. Who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. What am I saying to you? Our enemies are his enemies. He hides us. And because we're his, hidden in him, hidden with Christ in God, our enemies are his. Our battle's his. They said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Oh my God, make them like a wheel. Roll them around a bit. Would you notice that these prayers get to the point? Roll them around as the stubble before the wind. You ever seen a tumbleweed? And then it goes that way and that way. Some of my enemies, which are his enemies, make them look that stupid. As the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. Burn their toes a little bit, God, but because you're so loving and kind, when they realize they've come up against you instead of me, then deal gently with them. Huh? Take them over and introduce them to a smiley pastor that'll say, we know you didn't really intend to do the Lord and his work a damage. Is that what it says? So persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. Well, I thought God was sunlight and smileys. He's also tempest and storm. Depends on which side you're on. fill their faces with shame. Humiliate them. Make them look like monkeys. That they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded. Verse 17. For a little while. Huh? How long? Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Whoopee! I like that. I mean, I've been feeling bad about what I want to have happen to them. Thank God I'm biblical. I can pray this prayer without flinching. Let them be confounded in trouble forever. Yea. Let them be put to shame and come to their senses. Huh? What? Let them be put to shame and perish. I may finally start jumping around and shouting a little, which some people have said this pastor would never do. Let them be confounded too, but not all the rest of it here. But for these enemies of God, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, he's the Lord. Not whatever source of authority is trying to lord it over you and destroy you. Indeed, not even the Attorney General. Thou alone art Lord, which is the meaning of Jehovah. Art the Most High over all the earth. That's your consolation. What's your counsel? Turn eyes to this verse, these verses, to the Lord. What's the conclusion? God's more than adequate to look out for his hidden ones. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." Here's a Pentecostal happening in the Old Testament. "And thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle..." That's my proof of what I said earlier. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. "For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be upon you, be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They arose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord, your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. They went forth, saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord, Jehovah, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. I'll tell you, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were all dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. I want to ask you, Is it Bible? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Same God. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance, both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. You know something? In spite of my best efforts, trying to keep from it, I may die a rich man. Because when I get done suing, people who are suing me and libeling me, one of these days, one of them's going to rain riches on me. It'll take me 3 days to gather. They're all, will you understand that what looks bad, they're all walking into God's trap? Wait till he lands. You know, you can stand up, don't do it, but you can stand up and stretch high and you'll still be under the shadow of the Almighty. Will you say with me, I am one of God's hidden ones? My enemies, come on, are his enemies. My battle is his battle. We won.